Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And this period of the year is that part of the year when Prashanti is bubbling with youth energy. And this is how it is going to be for a couple of weeks, because this is the time all the new students who have got the chance to get admission in Bhagwan schools and colleges have begun to explore and experience their new environment. To step into Bhagwan's school, to be called a Sai student, to be associated with Baba's university. These are dreams. These are long cherished wishes, prayers. These are pursuits for which so many have persevered for so many months and years, and finally it is happening for them. And I can really imagine how exciting it might be for them, because I too went through this exciting phase, this beautiful phase. How thrilling it is when you get the chance to sit with the students. You have all the opportunities and the privileges that a Sai student has. Just the other day, 3 days ago, I met a classmate of mine. He is Prabhu Ramachandran. Is currently the managing director of a company which is into export of herbal extracts and nutraceuticals. Like pharmaceuticals, you have nutraceuticals, which are basically food supplement products. As I was talking to him, he narrated to me something very revealing. After his MBA in Baba's University, he worked for 5 years as a recruiting executive in the pharma sector. And then came an opportunity for him to become an entrepreneur, which he gladly grabbed in 2005. One of the big challenges for him when he set up the company was to secure a certificate from the government which enables him to export. And this will also make it eligible for him to avail so many concessions in the form of taxes and duty exemptions from the government, which is awarded to anyone who is into export-oriented business. And these concessions from the government actually boost up a firm's revenue by 15-20%. So it's really a very critical factor in the whole framework of doing this business. So he applied for it, for these concessions, for the certificate. The inspectors from the government came to check his factory, his office, and they seemed dissatisfied. They pointed out a few seeming defects, and he was not granted that permission. He applied the next year, and by now he had moved to a new office, and he tried to fix everything that he felt was not up to standards. And so there was this fresh application for the certificate, and a few days after this, when he had submitted the papers, he received a call from that government office, from one of the authorities there. And to his pleasant surprise, it was such a welcome news. The senior government official told him, "I have seen through all your papers, and I see that you have done your bachelor's and your master's in chemistry. You are also a management graduate, postgraduate. So you have all the technical qualifications needed for this job. And now coming to your other credentials, I see that you have done all your education, higher education, in Baba's University. And therefore, I have no doubts about your integrity and honesty. I am confident you will not misuse this certificate. Therefore, I am awarding this permission to you." This is how he got his export business started, which is based in Hyderabad. That is how precious the tag Sai student is. Sai student, which is a synonym for integrity, for honesty, for goodness. Sai student, being a part of the Satya Sai Educational Institution does not help us only in knowing our spiritual goal of life, but also it helps us in so many mysterious ways in our practical lives. It's a beautiful blend of what this world can give and what we need for the other world. It is a beautiful blend of the secular and the spiritual, of, as Bhagavan says, Iha and Para. What will give you happiness within and without? So no wonder so many long to join Satya Sai Educational Institutions every year. In fact, the results of 10th and 12th class, or 12th grade as it is called in some countries, those results are out. And like every year, it has been impressive. It was announced in the Sai Kurunthali a couple of days ago. Just to give you the highlights of the 12th grade results. Out of the 114 students who appeared, who wrote this examination, all of them passed, of course. 57% of the students scored above 90%. And the number of students who came out with distinction, that is more than 75%, is 111. So basically almost all of them except three secured O grade. This is the result of the 12th class performance in Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashanthi Nagar. The first rank holder is Ms. Komal Shah. She got 97.8%. Second rank went to Vaishali M, 97.4%. And there are three other students, Maitri, Sukanya and Anant Ramesh. All three of them securing 97%. That is just one facet of Satya Sai Educational Institutions, the facet that the world values and which is important and which Bhagavan also emphasized, but which is just one part which makes the personality of a student. In fact, I am reminded of an incident related to the conduct of examinations. Once an external examiner had come to Prashanthi Nilayam and he was doing his invigilation duty in the higher secondary school, and he noticed something that he had never seen anywhere else in any other school. He saw that all the students were extremely disciplined. No one had even a slightest inkling to cheat or copy during the exams, and there was so much order and decorum. He was actually a bit taken aback, and that made him think, what makes this school so different? He wanted an answer and he couldn't really wait for it. So curiosity got the better of him, and even as the examination was about to begin, he just tapped one boy on his shoulder and he asked him, "Are you all in this school very God-fearing?" And that boy, without batting an eyelid, instantly he said, "No, sir, we are not God-fearing. We are God-loving. We are God-loving." Well, that is what distinguishes Satya Sai Educational Institutions. So subtly but strongly, so politely but powerfully, this concept of cultivating love for the divine gets ingrained in every personality so solidly that it indeed becomes the foundation of their lives. And once this happens, everything else becomes easy. Be it doing well in academics or excelling in extracurricular activities or blossoming into integrated personalities. Love for God is the bedrock on which the edifice of character development of the students stands. And today, in this last segment of Thursday Live, we are going to dwell on this aspect, this most important aspect of developing love for God. We will ruminate on how Swami continues to cultivate our hearts so that He can sow this virtue of love for God. And today we are going to contemplate on this through the life of one very beautiful instrument of the Lord, who indeed was love for God in action, devotion in action. If Swami is love in action, this devotee is devotion in action. And what is most surprising is that she is not even a human being. Yes, we are going to dwell once again on the life of Sai Geeta, Baba's beloved elephant. In fact, last Thursday, April 22nd, 2014, was a day of immense significance as far as Sai Geeta is concerned. It was the day she merged with her beloved 7 years ago. The devotee, the deity, and the devotion all became one. And to commemorate this with the divine grace of Swami, we staged a program in the Sai Kulwant Hall so that we do not lose this day, this opportunity, this chance to dwell on the exalted life of such an exemplary devotee of the Lord. And we are indeed grateful to Swami for enabling us, for energizing us and being with us to ensure that this program reached to so many and conveyed those powerful messages. If you have missed this program, dear listeners, you can watch the video on our website. And tonight, as this month of May is slowly marching on to June, but May is still on, and I thought it would be worthwhile to ruminate on some of these deep lessons that the silent but superlative devotee of the Lord has to teach us. Yes, we did discuss about Sai Geeta earlier on the Outside Inside, Deep Inside episode of May 16th, 2014. So today we will actually take off from where we left on that day. So it is going to be again another episode of Sai Geeta all the way tonight on this last segment of Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside. There is a song on Sai Geeta which started playing, but I'm going to hold that song for you because I want to give you a little background before we move on to that song. In the previous episode of Sai Geeta's story, we discussed how Swami declared after she passed away that the relationship that he has with her is Vatsalyam, superlative maternal love. And we discussed how Swami went on to describe the way he nursed Sai Geeta when she was a baby, the way the little elephant developed such unstinting love for Bhagwan right from the time she was barely a few days old, how Swami built for her a home right next to his room and then later had to shift her home to where the Rama, Sita, Lakshmana statues are now only because the Mandir area had to be vacated for devotees to sit during darshan. And then how she had to be moved from that location too because of the impending 50th birthday celebrations, and there was more and more and more area always needed for devotees. So finally Sai Geeta was shifted to the Gokulam. And even as all this was happening, even though the physical distance from Bhagwan was increasing, her love for Swami never diminished. In fact, it only became more and more intense. She was pining for the Lord more. She was praying for to see her Lord more. And how do we know this? There are so many moving instances. Let me start with a hilarious one. This was narrated by Mr. V. N. Narasimhamurthy, who was the warden of the Srisakta Sai Hostel in Vrindavan for many decades. He says this happened in the early 80s when Swami used to stay in the old Vrindavan bungalow. And Mr. Ramabrahmam was the caretaker of the Bangalore ashram. He used to sleep inside this building. One day, late in the night, maybe it was past midnight, Mr. Ramabrahmam's sleep was disturbed because of some weird sounds outside the doors and windows. It was not very loud, but it was very mysterious, and it was a muffled clatter, and there was some sort of a hissing noise and some other sounds, and he was very perturbed. He wondered who is there outside in this unearthly hour, and that too outside Bhagwan's residence. He tried to see through the window, and in the dark hour he could not make out anything. It was all very hazy, and he could see a trunk, and he got really panicky. What is this being? Who is here? Or are there some people who are playing some tricks? He was actually sweating and wondering what to do. Should he open the door? Should he shout, Bhagwan is there sleeping on top? And right at that instant, Swami came down from the first floor, and Swami said, and the moment Swami came down, Mr. Ramabrahmam saw Bhagwan and he blurted out, Swami, Swami, something has come, something has come. And Swami only smiled, and Swami calmed him, saying, Ramabrahmam, do not worry, not something, it is Sai Geeta who has come. And then Swami opened the door himself. Swami went to her, pacified Sai Geeta, because Sai Geeta was basically hungry for darshan. She had come from Prashantilayam. As whenever Bhagwan went from Prashantilayam to Vrindavan, Sai Geeta too followed, but she would take longer because she has to walk some distance and some distance on the lorry. So she reached that day very late, but she was so hungry to see Swami. Even though it was midnight, she could not go to sleep without seeing Swami. And look at the beautiful Swami. He was too waiting for her. And Swami opened the door. Swami showered love on her, made arrangements for her comfortable stay, and only after she was satisfied, retired to his room. Such is the Lord's mercy. When the devotee's love is pure, the Lord doesn't care whether it is midnight, it is mid-air, it is mid-forest or mid-ocean. In fact, Mr. B.V. Raman Rao, again, another very long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, other day he shared an instance where Bhagwan, after he had returned from Bangalore, that evening, before going for dinner, Bhagwan asked, has Sai Geeta returned? Because what would happen is Bhagwan would start in the morning and he would be there in three hours. But Sai Geeta that day, she started at 11 a.m. and she was expected to reach Puttaparthi by 6:30. Generally she would come the highway on the lorry, and then from Dharmavaram or Kothacheri she would actually walk, and that would take long time. And she was expected to reach by 6:30, and she had not come, and Bhagwan was restless. Bhagwan was very anxious. He was inquiring every now and then, has she come? Has she come? How is she? And it was not the day of cell phone, so no one had any clue. They were only trying to tell Swami, yeah, Swami, she's coming, she's coming. But Swami was not going for dinner, and there were so many guests also who were invited by Bhagwan for dinner. The dinner session was getting delayed, but Swami did not care. Swami wanted to first see Sai Geeta. So the dinner table, everything, the session was put on hold. Sai Geeta finally arrived at 7:45, and when only after she came, Bhagwan went to her, Swami stroked her, Swami fed her, Swami spent some time with her, repeatedly inquired her about her welfare, and only after that he went to the dining hall. All the guests also were waiting, and that day Mr. Raman Rao says if Sai Geeta had come at even 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock also Bhagwan would have waited, because he was so anxious. That is how much Bhagwan was concerned about this ardent devotee. That is who Sai Gita is, and that is how the relationship between Sai Gita and Bhagwan is.
సత్య సాయి భగవానుని ముందు పెట్టవమ్మా, సత్య సాయి భగవానుని ముందు పెట్టవమ్మా, నీ నిర్మల భక్తికి సాటి లేదమ్మా, నీ నిర్మల భక్తికి సాటి లేదమ్మా, సాయి గీతమ్మా,
సత్య సాయి భగవానుని ముందు పెట్టవమ్మా, నిర్మల భక్తికి సాటి లేదమ్మా, సాయి గీతమ్మా, సత్య సాయి భగవాను ముద్దు బిడ్డవమ్మా.
దిస్ ఇస్ ద సాంగ్ దట్ వాజ్ sung in front of Bhagwan. There was a video made on this song and Bhagwan loved it so much. So I'm going to play stanzas from this song as we go on discussing on the glorious life of Sai Gita. In fact, her more than 4 decades of association with Swami is not only a marvelous love story, but it's a tale in which one gets to see how inseparable the bond of pure love can be. It is a tale which in its every facet demonstrates how tight is this bond of pure love. Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram had the opportunity to see Sai Gita when she was just barely 2-3 years old, and Sai Gita was just 2 feet, and she had the chance to witness this bond of pure love, how it started and how it progressed, how it blossomed, because she's been there all the while, given her long association with Swami. So one day, recalling a very sweet experience, she said, this is something that happened in February 1972. Swami was one day preparing to leave the Vrindavan ashram to go and stay in her parents' house, Dr. R.S. Padmanabhan and Kamala Padmanabhan. Bhagwan used to stay in their house in those days. And Swami was to go to the house and stay there for 2 days. It was the time of the Akhanda Bhajan celebration, and Mrs. Geeta Mohan's family, her father and grandfather, actually started this concept of 24-hour non-stop bhajan singing. She was just 8 years old then. So to invite Bhagwan for Akhanda Bhajan, she and her brother, her aunt and her father, all of them had gone to Vrindavan to plead with Swami to come to their home in Jayanagar in Bangalore, because that is where they were going to conduct the Akhanda Bhajan. And as Swami was getting ready to leave that day, they suddenly heard Sai Gita's trumpeting noise, and she was trumpeting loudly from behind Swami's residence. And it almost seemed like she somehow knew that Swami was leaving, and she wanted attention. Because you could make out, she says, that her voice was very obvious that she was very desperate. So Swami came out and Swami responded to her call, and Swami walked to the rear of the building. And as Bhagwan went to Sai Gita, all these, Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram and her parents, they also followed Bhagwan. And they saw that once Bhagwan was there, Bhagwan started caressing her, Swami was stroking her cheeks, and Swami was trying to feed her with apples. But she just put her trunk around Bhagwan's shoulders, and she was just not letting Bhagwan go. She just was trying to gently but firmly pull Bhagwan to her. She actually held Bhagwan securely and she would not just let Bhagwan go. And Swami was pleading in Telugu, please leave me Sai Gita, Veetu Sai Gita, Veetu Sai Gita, please leave me Sai Gita, I have to go, it is getting late. Bangaru, I will come again, Vastanu, I will come back soon, please leave me. Swami is pleading with her and she is not leaving. And only after 5 minutes of gentle persuasion by Swami that Sai Gita let Bhagwan go, but reluctantly, as Bhagwan was going, again she caught Bhagwan's hand now with her trunk and she held on to Bhagwan's right arm and again would not let him go for a few minutes. Swami tried giving her some fruits, but that apple was no consolation for her. She refused to accede and finally, after a lot of cajoling, Swami somehow extricated himself from her. But by now Bhagwan's robe was covered completely by her saliva because she kept nuzzling Bhagwan all through. But Swami was totally unconcerned. He was unmindful of the dribble on his robe. And Swami took this opportunity and then turned to all of them who were standing, Mrs. Gitaram and her parents, brother and so on. And Swami said, look at her. Your devotion should be one-pointed like her. She is not even tempted by the fruit I offer. She only wants me and thinks of me at all times. When you are like her, then you too will receive my darshanam, sparshanam and sambhashanam. You will have the fortune of my vision, my touch and conversing with me if only you cultivate such focused one-pointed devotion. Swami gave this message to all and then lovingly gave a beautiful sweet pat on her cheek and went back to his residence, to his room, to change into a new robe, and then left. That is how wonderful is this relationship. Every moment that Bhagwan was with Sai Gita, there were lessons, it was actually a class for all. No words were spoken. The instances when Bhagwan has spoken and revealed are a few, but every time you saw that scene, Bhagwan was instilling something in each one who was watching that. That is how powerful and how wonderful this relationship with Sai Gita has been. How fortunate she is, how fortunate we are. And how fortunate is this age to witness such a beautiful leela of the Lord.
సాయిని అనరించావు నీ చిలిపి చేతలకు సాయిని అనరించావు స్వామి కురులు ముద్దాడి ప్రేమ పంచావు స్వామి కురులు ముద్దాడి ప్రేమ పంచావు సత్య సాయి భగవానుని భక్తితో కొలిచావు సత్య సాయి భగవానుని భక్తితో కొలిచాము స్వామి క్షణం మరుగైతే కన్నీరు నింపావు స్వామి క్షణం మరుగైతే కన్నీరు నింపావు సత్య సాయి భగవానుని ముద్దు బిడ్డవమ్మా నీ నిర్మల భక్తికి సాడిలేదమ్మా సాయి గీతమ్మా సత్య సాయి భగవాను నీ ముందు బిడ్డవమ్మా.
The meaning of this stanza is, you have worshipped Swami with your devotion. If Swami is not to be seen for a second, you drown yourself in sorrow. By your playful actions, you make Swami so happy. You play with Swami's head. You show your love to Bhagwan in so many beautiful, sweet ways. Yes, Sai Gita was playful with the Lord. And playful with others too. In fact, no one who spent time with her ever returned without a smile on their face or a pleasant feeling dancing in their heart. She spread happiness naturally. But, and of course, she was physically very majestic, very powerful, but these were only additional facets of her magnificent personality. They were not what distinguished her from other members in the animal kingdom. What was unique about her is that, as a devotee mentioned, she simply returned in abundance all the love that Swami gave her. A student who was in the hostel when Sai Gita shed was right opposite the hostel says, Sai Gita was our alarm clock. Because it remains a mystery how she would come to know about Bhagwan's presence each and every time. Whenever we heard her trumpet, we would run out of the hostel and every occasion we would find Bhagwan. And this student goes on to narrate one very fascinating incident that happened in the mid-80s. Bhagwan was in Vrindavan in those days, and during Bhagwan's physical absence, the boys generally go and have compulsory games in the evenings. So it was during that time when Sai Gita also one day had come to the stadium for her evening walk. And generally boys would go to her and say Sai Ram, and she would lovingly respond by raising her trunk. She would acknowledge that. In her own way she would say Sai Ram. So one such evening when the boys were playing and she was also busy taking her stroll, suddenly came this news that Bhagwan is coming, Bhagwan is coming, and it was absolutely unexpected. No one ever thought that Bhagwan would be returning so soon or at that period of the year to Puttaparthi. And before anyone could realize, Swami's car was actually entering now the stadium from the higher secondary school gate, and Sai Gita was then on the other end of the stadium. She was at the crossing of the primary school building where in near the Chaitanya Jyoti Museum. And as soon as Swami's car entered, she just gave out a loud trumpet and she was euphoric. It was tough for her caretaker to control her or stop her. And she just escaped. She just started running towards the car, lightning speed, and what followed next, this brother says, is something which left everyone in wonder. Because there was Bhagwan's car coming up from the stadium and this mighty Sai Gita is running, almost rolling on the ground, opposite direction towards the car. And the next instant, what everyone saw was so thrilling. Bhagwan could not contain himself. He just stopped. The vehicle stopped the car and he got out of the car and just rushed. And now here on one side, Bhagwan was running from one end and Sai Gita was running from the other end. And it was, what a sight, what a sight. And finally, both of them meet and their expressions, their emotions are uncontrollable, both Sai and Sai Gita. She literally hugged Bhagwan and her trunk was all over Swami's hair, Swami's shoulder. And Swami was actually standing in between her front two legs and the trunk. She was just holding Swami completely. She was caressing the Lord's lotus feet. And this scene went on for 10 to 15 minutes. And Bhagwan had to do a lot of love showering to pacify her. And slowly, as this was going on, the students came close to the scene and they heard how Bhagwan was so sweetly talking to her, patting her. Then Swami fed her some fruits, and again her saliva was there all over Bhagwan's robe, but that was never a bother for Bhagwan. One student says there was an occasion when Bhagwan said, "Do you know why I have kept Sai Gita in front of your hostel?" Bhagwan said, "So that you can learn what true devotion is. If you all can get even an iota of her love for me, your life would be sanctified." This is what Bhagwan said. How many devotees have we heard of Bhagwan himself exalting their devotion, except ideals from the mythologies, be it Hanuman or Prahlada. In the last so many years, more than 80 years, thousands have enjoyed Bhagwan's love, his grace, his proximity, but has Swami ever singled out one particular person and said, "Emulate him, I want all of you to be like him"? But when it came to Sai Gita, on every occasion possible, Swami would laud her supremely focused love and goad others to take inspiration from her. On another occasion, when his robe was wet with Sai Gita's urine and she could not contain her emotions, and the boys were hesitant to go near because their dress was becoming dirty with her urine, Swami looked at the boys and went to the extent of saying, "If you drink a cup of her urine, maybe you will get a fraction of her devotion." That is where the Lord placed her devotion. But at the same time, it is not as if life was always rosy and cozy for her. She had her own share of ailments and afflictions, but they never bothered her. Peda Reddy Garu, who took care of Sai Gita for more than 2 decades, he says, somehow she never feels the pain because her mind is always fixed on the Lord. And because of that, Swami also, with the same intensity, looks after Sai Gita's welfare. In fact, on one occasion when she suffered from a stomach disorder and that resulted in her tummy bulging inordinately, Swami immediately arranged expert veterinary doctors from Kerala and Bangalore to attend on her. On another occasion, when the leather on the sole of her feet started peeling off because of foot and mouth disease, Swami encouraged the doctors to start treatment without any hesitation. He assured them that she would be cured soon, and that's exactly what happened. Similarly, 1996, when her eyeball became red without any apparent injury, and Mr. Peda Reddy became very worried, and he immediately took her to the Purnachandra auditorium where Bhagwan was residing then, and Swami asked the pathology department of the super speciality hospital to do the relevant tests. And Mr. Peda Reddy was very, very sorrowful because he could not see her suffer. He could not see that Sai Gita had this trouble and it was not going. And in fact, one day he just broke down in front of Swami. And Swami was consoling Mr. Peda Reddy, "Do not cry, do not cry, she'll be all right." And later an ophthalmic surgeon, he prescribed some eye drops, but it did not have any immediate effect. And then Bhagwan said, "Stop all the medicines." And Swami just told Peda Reddy, "She will be all right." And just by Bhagwan's word, Sai Gita was cured. She was able to see clearly again with both her eyes. On another occasion, when it was reported to Swami that Sai Gita is sick, Swami created Vibhuti and he gave it to Mr. Chiranjeev Rao, who was then the caretaker of the Prashantalayam Ashram, and told him to personally deliver it to her. In fact, whenever Mr. Chiranjeev Rao went to Gokulam or he went to the hostel, he came this side, Swami would always ask him to also visit Sai Geeta on the way and check if she is comfortable and if she is well cared for. And at times Bhagwan would ask, is she getting sugarcane leaves to eat? Bhagwan knew that Sai Geeta relished the sweet sugarcane leaves very much. And Swami was also aware that these leaves are not easy to come by in Puttaparthi. And therefore Bhagwan used to say, you must take pains to bring for her things that she likes. Being an animal, she cannot express herself so categorically. But when we know what she wants, shouldn't we make all the attempts to provide for her wishes and keep her happy? If we do not do this, then what is service? This is what Bhagwan told Mr. Chiranjeev Rao. And incidentally, it was Mr. Chiranjeev Rao who was instrumental in building the new spacious shed for her, which had high walls and lots of greenery around. This happened in the early 80s. Sai Geeta moved to this location from the Gokulam in 1970-80. And that was another chapter in her life, the beginning of a new phase in her life. Because apart from having a comfortable place to stay, she was now the neighbor of Bhagwan's students right in front of the hostel. And that also brought along with it so many precious advantages. In fact, I remember one very, what should I say? It is evergreen in my mind's eye. It is a very touching incident. I remember it so vividly. It was a bright festive morning. It was the day of Christmas. And after the captivating carol singing and the beautiful darshan in the mandir, some of us just got up and we prayed to Swami, Swami, please come to the hostel, please come to the hostel, because Christmas is the hospital anniversary day too. And generally every year Swami would say, why you want me to come to the hostel? You are seeing me now. If you say, Swami, please, Swami, give a discourse. Swami said, I am speaking to you now. Swami, please come for darshan. You are seeing me now. Swami would say all these things. And or Swami would say, okay, wait, wait. So generally, he would give very evading answers. But that day, suddenly Swami said, are you ready? And all of us just shouted, yes, Swami. But actually we were nervous to our bones because we had not made any arrangements. I mean, the dining hall was not decorated, the garden was not pruned, the entrance did not have rangoli and mango leaves. And what about Bhagwan's jhula? Because whenever Swami came to the hostel, he sat on the jhula. What about kitchen? What about, what are the performances we are going to stage for him? There's so many things that we have to be prepared before we can call Bhagwan. And that day we just, out of exuberance, we called Bhagwan and we are expecting that Bhagwan would say, okay, I will come in the afternoon or I'll come tomorrow. But Bhagwan said, are you ready now? And even before we realized what was happening, Bhagwan called the car and Swami got into the car. And Swami said, I'm going now. And there was not even time for us to even think. I remember we ran like boys possessed, because by the time we reached the hostel, Swami was already there. I mean, there were not, boys were still coming from mandir. There were hardly a few boys to open Bhagwan's car door and welcome him to the hostel. It was the most unexpected informal visit of Bhagwan. And that day I remember, perhaps enough boys would have broken the national records in marathon running, because everybody was just dashing to the hostel, because you don't know what is going to happen the next moment. Bhagwan is already there. Bhagwan was there for half an hour in the hostel and he blessed each one, you know. He was just blessing, walking in the lawns, collecting letters, cracking jokes, blessing whatever each person had to offer. And he was his giving self completely, as he always is. But this is not what is the highlight of this memorable visit. For me, the best part was yet to come, and I remember those moments so well. saw me after spending half an hour in the hostel quadrangle. He came and stood on the entrance of the hostel, and he was all smiles, very beautiful. There was a gentle sunshine, and the sun's rays were falling on his hair, and he was looking so radiant, and there was this divine luster. And then saw me suddenly, very sweetly, as if he's singing a song, Swami called out, "Gita, Gita." It was so soft. I don't think more than 3-4 people who were around Swami heard it. And the moment Swami said this, Saigita, who was standing 100 meters away, she, God knows how she heard it, she just galloped. The 10,000 pound body of Saigita galloped like a racehorse, excited, and she was overwhelmed. She just presented herself in front of her Bhagavan the next instant, and for the next 10 minutes, what a beautiful, lovely sight it was. It was indeed the best moment that morning. We think Swami heard to our request and came. Actually, Bhagavan came for Saigita. It was her devotion, and what we got was actually a bonus blessing. She went on caressing Swami, and Swami was so loving towards her. These are moments that are etched in gold in one's memory. She was least concerned with the fruits that Swami was offering her. She only wanted to touch Swami. She only wanted to look into Bhagavan's eyes. She only wanted to speak to him. She only wanted to be loved by him. That's all. She did not want to eat. She just could not bear an inch of separation. In a discourse to the boys in the Prashanti Mandir, on the occasion of Ganesh Chaturthi in 1992, Swami said, "Those of you who are staying in the hostel, you notice cars going up and down the road. On the other side of the hostel is Saigita. She takes no notice of the innumerable cars going on the road. But without any notice, she smells, as it were, the passing of Swami's car, and she immediately comes out with a roar to greet Swami." She always knows about Bhagavan. That is her devotion. That is her steadfastness. That is her pure love.
సాయి వైభవం కనులార చూసావు సత్య సాయి వైభవం కనులార చూసావు ఆ వైభవ దీప్తిలో దీవిని చిందించావు ఆ వైభవ దీప్తిలో దీవిని చిందించావు దైవం మదిలో నిలిచిన భక్తురాలివమ్మా దైవం మదిలో నిలిచిన భక్తురాలివమ్మా సాయినామమున్న వరకు చిరంజీవివమ్మా సాయినామమున్న వరకు చిరంజీవివమ్మా సత్య సాయి భగవాను ముద్దు పెట్టవమ్మా నీ నిర్మల భక్తికి సాటి లేదమ్మా నిర్మల భక్తికి సాటిదేదమ్మా సాయి గీతమ్మా సత్య సాయి భగవాను పెట్టవమ్మా సత్య సాయి భగవాను
సత్యసాయి వైభవం కన్నులారా చూశావు ఆ వైభవ దీప్తిలో దీవిని చిందించావు. వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్ ఇస్ ఓ సాయిగీత, యు హ్యావ్ సీన్ ద గ్రాండర్ ఆఫ్ సత్యసాయి అండ్ యూ వర్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ దట్ గ్రాండర్. వన్ ఆఫ్ ది లవ్లీ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ బెస్టోడ్ ఆన్ సాయిగీత my Bhagwan, is that she was always an indelible part of all the major celebrations in Prashantinagaram, be it birthday, be it Dasara, be it Krishna Janmashtami, or the sports meet, student sports meet on January 11th every year. I once asked Mr. Pedireddy, how does Sai Geeta feel being decorated like a royal and majestically leading the procession elephant on special days? Does she really get excited about these events? And Mr. Pedireddy said, oh yes, so very much. On any normal day, he said, when I take her out for a walk, she will go about the whole process very casually, and the few meters stroll would be a drag. A few meters would actually drag on for nearly 2 hours. But look at her the day she's going to Mandir on festival days. It is as if she's become 20 years younger. She wants to run. She knows she's going to see Swami, and her eagerness takes the better of her. He says, in fact, in the early morning itself, when I apply turmeric on her feet, which is the first thing I do whenever she has to be dressed up for the occasion, that is her first hint. And from then on, she is just waiting for my command and the gates to open so that she will just glide into Mandir. And when I'm adorning her with more than 27 types of ornaments that Bhagwan has given for her, she stands still like a statue. She very patiently would go through the makeup session, which apart from sparing vibhuti on her body, you know, it's bedecking her with exquisitely carved golden headgear, the richly embroidered body blanket, the shining silver anklets, the resounding golden bell, the dazzling necklaces, the dangling earrings, the gorgeous garlands, I mean, everything. She would love to be dressed up. And in the procession, she will enact her role to perfection. She will walk gracefully and with regal air as befits the grandeur of every occasion. And what is very sweet is how, just like a mother, Swami would be very particular about how Sai Geeta is dressed for every occasion. He would check with Mr. Pedireddy if her silver anklets were polished, if her dress was in perfect order, if all her ornaments were intact. Mr. Pedireddy recalls that just a year before the 80th birthday celebration, Swami wanted on one occasion to see all her ornaments, because this is part of the preparation for the 80th birthday celebrations. So Mr. Pedireddy went to Bhagwan's residence and he displayed all Sai Geeta's jewels. Swami saw everything, and then suddenly Swami asked, where are her ankle belts? And Mr. Pedireddy was taken aback, because he thought he had preserved all her ornaments securely. But when Bhagwan asked again, only then he realized that actually he had sent two of Sai Geeta's ankle belts to Bangalore because they needed repair. But he had forgotten at that point in time, and Swami asked specifically for that. So immediately he called up Bangalore, and the next day the ornaments came and Sai Geeta was ready for the Rathotsavam festival, immaculately dressed up for the occasion. And in fact, when Bhagwan came near Sai Geeta the next morning during Rathotsavam, his eyes first went to her feet. And Pedireddy explained to Bhagwan that the anklets arrived last evening and they are fitting her perfectly now, and Swami is obviously so satisfied. In fact, there are so many instances like this. Sometime in 2005, when Mr. Pedireddy put a gaudy synthetic garland on Sai Geeta's neck, Swami said, why do you put the plastic garland there? That plastic garland is covering all her gold and silver necklaces. Similarly, another day Swami said, you see, you have put 3 elaborate silver bracelets on her neck and they are looking so cramped. Maybe you should try changing the position of some of them. Maybe you should place one of them on either side of the velvet jacket. It would look nice when placed there. See, like this, Bhagavan was so concerned, so particular of every detail of how she is dressed, how she looks on every occasion. For Swami, every detail about her is important. For Sai Gita, if there is anything important, it is Swami. Rest everything is trivial. A detail that can be ignored. Then what is dear to Swami is dear to Sai Gita too. Mr. Pedretti says she was no animal or an ordinary pet of Bhagavan. She was indubitably a great soul and she had come only to enjoy proximity with the divine. Because how else can one explain Sai Gita waiting eagerly every morning after her bath for Pedda Reddy to apply those three horizontal lines of vibhuti on her head? Generally the devotees of Shiva do that. And Sai Gita always loved those vibhuti marks on her head. Not only this, the moment he applied vibhuti, she would open her mouth and she would ask for a huge chunk. And until it was given, she would never close her mouth. Mr. Pedretti says, no normal elephant will like to eat ash. But here was Sai Gita who always waited for vibhuti every morning. Another very salient facet which really distinguished her from all others in her species, not only from her species but also from general devotees, is that she loved silence the most. She always wanted her dwelling area to be quiet, just like an ashram. If the sevadals waiting at her gate, at the Sai Gita shed gate, were making noise or they were indulging in loud talk, she would just pluck some shrubs and throw it at them, asking them in her own way to maintain silence. Mr. Pedretti says she was the one who enforced discipline in that area. And you saw her always very disciplined, especially during processions. She would never be in a hurry or she would never disturb anybody. There's not been even one occasion in all this 40-50 years when she led the processions, when she stepped on somebody or something inadvertently. She would get excited only when she sees Swami. But on formal occasions, she would know how to behave with dignity. Her eyes would only be searching for Swami. Because that was her only goal. Just like an ascetic, she wanted no company of anyone except Bhagavan. And how many lives have been inspired today by her exalted example? Even though she's a pachyderm. She's a five-footed being. Whenever people have looked at her, it is always with awe and reverence. Showering affection on an animal and getting love and loyalty in return is something that many can relate to. We know of dogs who have given their lives for their owners. We know of pets who give more unconditional love to their keepers than their best friends. We know of cats who are stress busters and who provide instant happiness to their possessors. But is there any pet in this world who has turned people's attention Godward? What Sai Gita has taught humanity without speaking a word is what saints and noble persons take years to learn and then decades to impart. Just by her presence and example, she has goaded thousands of students and devotees to practice higher thinking, to aspire for the highest and nothing else. Even though Swami spent lesser and lesser time with her as years passed, earlier Swami should spend 4-5 sessions a day. But later years, it was seeing her only during major festival occasions, which was like once in 2-3 months. But everything else might change. But her love for Swami was absolutely unchanged. It only intensified. Though it started as a mother-child relationship, it blossomed into pure love and devotion. Mr. Pedireddy says she had so much reverence in her eyes when she looked at Swami. She wouldn't even blink if Swami was next to her. And if Swami fed her directly into her mouth, she would be thrilled. She always knew the value of what she was getting. When a new Mahout came to assist Mr. Pedireddy in serving Sai Geeta a few years ago, sometime in the 90s, Sai Geeta refused to accept his service until Swami personally blessed this new person in Mandir. She was not there in Mandir to see whether Bhagwan had blessed this person or not, but until that had happened, she never accepted this person's service. Finally, Swami blessed this new mouth by creating vibhuti. And when that happened, she somehow knew that Bhagwan blessed him. And only after that, she started accepting his service. It just reminds me of Hanuman, you know, who did not want even one pearl from the beautiful necklace that Mother Sita gifted him. Because if they are not vibrating with the name of Lord Rama, then he felt they mean nothing to me. It was the same with Sai Geeta. I mean, if you're not a devotee, if you're not accepted by the Lord, then I also cannot have you in my life. That is what a Sai Geeta is. You can draw parallels from every epic, from every mythology. All that we have heard that happened with Hanuman, with Jatayu, we see in the life of Sai Geeta. Let me play that stanza again. Such a beautiful composition, so meaningful.
సాయి వైభవం కనులార చూసావు సత్య సాయి వైభవం కనులార చూసావు ఆ వైభవ దీప్తిలో దీవిని చిందించావు ఆ వైభవ దీప్తిలో దీవిని చిందించావు దైవం మదిలో నిలిచిన భక్తురాలివమ్మా దైవం మదిలో నిలిచిన భక్తురాలివమ్మా సాయినామమున్న వరకు చిరంజీవివమ్మా సాయినామమున్న వరకు చిరంజీవివమ్మా సత్య సాయి భగవాను ముద్దు పెట్టవమ్మా నీ నిర్మల భక్తికి సాటి లేదమ్మా నీ నిర్మల భక్తికి సాటిదేదమ్మా సాయి గీతమ్మా సత్య సాయి భగవాను ముద్దు పెట్టవమ్మా సత్య సాయి భగవాను ముద్దు పెట్టవమ్మా
In 2006, when Swami gifted the students of the university with a world-class indoor stadium, which Bhagwan christened later as the Sri Satya Sai International Center for Sports, at the same time, Swami also built a palace of a home for Sai Geeta with exquisite carvings done by the same sculptor who had fashioned the beautiful domes that adorn the Prashantinilam Mandir. And this was the culmination of another beautiful drama which began a few weeks earlier. When the land was being cleared to start work for the indoor stadium, unfortunately Sai Geeta's shed could not be spared because of the vast area that the new multi-game sporting complex mandated. And when it was brought to Bhagwan's notice, Swami initially seemed very upset. He was concerned about Sai Geeta's home. And he issued a strict instruction that in no case should Sai Geeta be moved unless she has another proper and peaceful accommodation built for her. And at that time, nobody had a definite idea where exactly to build her new home. And when someone suggested to Swami that a shed can be built for her beyond the indoor stadium, Swami immediately rejected the proposal and said, "No, it is too far. She will get afraid. She should be near. The devotees will not be able to see her," Swami said. And so that is how plans were drawn to have her shed before the indoor stadium, to accommodate her in the complex of the planetarium. Swami liked this idea, but still Swami made many changes to it. Now Swami did not want a shed for her like before. Swami said it should be a palatial home. Also, Swami wanted it to be located closer to the road so that it would be easy for her to have darshan whenever Swami was passing by. But this new structure would take at least a few weeks to be built. So where is she going to stay in this interim period? This was Bhagwan's anxiety. And so a temporary shed came up in just 2-3 days behind the planetarium complex. And it had all the arrangements, a bathtub, relaxing area, everything. And Swami visited this site almost daily, and only when he was satisfied with the temporary shed that Sai Geeta was made for her and he felt that it was good enough for her, Swami allowed Sai Geeta to be moved. Even after that, Swami would visit many times to see if Sai Geeta was comfortable, and he would ask Mr. Padireddy if she was okay and if all her needs were taken care of. He would inspect the construction of her new grand home. And looking at the grandeur of that new enclosure, many people would think, maybe this is the place Swami is going to sit and watch the boys play in the indoor stadium, because Swami is building it so beautifully. But the truth of the matter, which is so obvious now, is Swami wanted that place to be a landmark. It's a landmark in the history of the Sai Avatar. It has to be a landmark in this holy land of Prashantinidhyam. No one should miss it. It should be most beautiful. It should be graceful. It should be welcoming to all, so that everyone in some subtle way is inspired to cultivate such devotion to the Lord. Mr. Padireddy says she was not an ordinary devotee. She was an enlightened soul. Because who would believe that Sai Geeta actually foretold her death to Sri Padireddy the previous evening? She in fact did this, and Swami himself confirmed this in a discourse that he gave later. On 21st evening itself, even though she passed on on 22nd, on 21st evening she had communicated to Mr. Padireddy that she wants to go. And it is because of many such moments of revelations that Padireddy was personally sure, and he asserts that Sai Geeta was actually a jnani, one of all-knowing wisdom. He says she knew what was coming most of the time. When Swami left for Kodaikanal on April 26, 2007, she stopped the car on the road. She stopped Bhagwan's car. Swami blessed her profusely, but still her happiness was very short-lived. The moment Swami's car moved away, she trumpeted loudly 3-4 times, lamenting Bhagwan's departure. She knew Swami was going to Kodaikanal and will not be available for a few weeks. And it took a lot of consoling for Mr. Padireddy. She kept on saying, "Swami's gone, Swami's gone." This is what she was expressing. And it was very difficult to get her out of that depression. Though Swami had nicely blessed her while leaving for Kodaikanal, but on the day he returned to Puttaparthi on May 18th, Swami was not smiling at all. He was just staring at her. It was a look of concern. And Sai Geeta too was very subdued. It was very unusual. And Padireddy says, "I never understood anything then." He says, during the inauguration of this new concrete structure with ornate carvings and magnificent colors, Sai Geeta was actually disinclined to go into this new building. One had to really goad her to go into it. And now when you think about it, I at that time thought that she did not like cement and concrete and should rather stay in the sands and grass. But the reality is, she completely knew what was happening. She knew that this was the place of her samadhi. She never wanted to. She was never comfortable there in that structure. In fact, Mr. Padridi says, she always knew how to communicate her feelings to me. If a person who is assisting Padre Reddy had harmed her in taking care of her, she would always wait for a time when Padre Reddy was alone, and then she would go near him and tell him about the episode. And then Padre Reddy would inquire with the assistants and they would confess that they had actually beaten her. And that is the reason why Mr. Padridi says she was out of this world. She was a very noble soul. She belonged to a higher plane. 15 days before her birth, before her death, she was as if on a vow. She did not care about food at all. And she would always want Padridi to be by her side. And 2 days before her passing, that is on May 20th, she broke open the chain that was tied to her legs and she walked to the garden and she started playing on the sands in the middle of the night. Mr. Padridi welded the chain the next day and put around her legs again, because that is how it used to be, the usual practice in the nights. But she released herself again the second time on May 21st. And this time it was early in the morning, 5:30. Perhaps she was trying to break the chain right from the time in the night. And he says, Padre Reddy says, when I came to see her around 8 o'clock, she was again on the sands, free, just like the previous day. And it was very surprising for him because she had never done this before. She would go out and play only if she was not chained and in her usual time in the evening. But it was very surprising that now she had not eaten for so many days. She was weak, but still she was breaking the chains. In fact, for the last 5 months, she had not been eating well at all, right from January 2007. And one day, before her final crossover, Mr. Petherati noticed that her front leg, left leg, was giving her pain and she was limping. So he thought maybe there is some stone or twig which is accidentally stuck in there and that was hurting her. And that is why she was restless and she was not able to stand and steadily. On May 22nd, on that final fateful day, when he came at 8:30 in the morning and he took her out for a bath, even during the time when he was giving her this bath, he saw that there is some pain in her leg. And suddenly, as he was pouring water on her, she raised her front leg and she was showing how painful it was for her. So Padridi asked her to lift her leg. And generally she would be able to lift her leg for some time. But on that day she was unable to hold the leg at all. She just kept it down immediately. So Padre Reddy could not remove that stone or whatever was stuck on her foot, and he asked her to lift again. She did that, but again she was weak, she could not hold her leg, and this happened one more time, and finally when she lifted her leg the fourth time, she just sat down with a jerk. But then, after that, when Padre Reddy saw the lower part of her leg, he could not find anything visibly wrong there. There was no stone or stick or anything, but maybe it was some internal pain in her leg. That's what Padridi thought to himself. For 1.5 years, Saigita had not sat down. She was always on her legs day and night. Even during the nights, she used to sleep standing on her legs because, or leaning on the wall because she had some problem. So after 18 months, when she suddenly sat down, her limbs refused to cooperate and she was unable to get up. So immediately Saigita sent for, Padridi Garu sent for a crane to help her to stand. Unfortunately, nothing was nearby and it took some time for these vehicles to arrive. And finally, they tied a rope to the rear side of Saigita and they tried to pull, but the machine was unable to lift Saigita because Saigita was 6 tons and the tonnage of that hydraulic motor was only 2. And the higher capacity crane was 100 kilometers away. So somehow they telephoned Bangalore, but those vehicles could not start immediately because of some technical problems. And so that is how things were getting delayed. And one would wonder, why did the divine not intervene? How could there be so many obstacles for his dear devotee? But then, those who know the Lord, at least to some extent, know that everything actually happens as per his divine design. Though it is very difficult to accept and understand at that particular point in time. And on that day, up to 12:30 in the afternoon, she was trying to get up, and by that time she had tried so many times and she was exhausted. And the legs, which had not been bent for over 1.5 years, they were giving her a lot of pain. She was silently tolerating all the hardship. She did not want to shout at all, but there were tears in her eyes. The doctors were trying to give her some calcium injections and saline for strength. 10 to 12 bottles of sterile solution went into her, but nothing seemed to help. And slowly she started to drop her head, because the head had become too heavy for her. She was not able to move it either. And then her breathing slowed down and she lay in this condition for an hour or so. And then at about 6 on May 22nd, she bid a peaceful adieu and lay there, lifeless. Brother Reddy was devastated. He immediately informed Bhagwan. And do you know how Bhagwan reacted? Well, we have no clue what was the immediate instant reaction of Bhagwan when he heard the news. But what we do know is that at about 8 p.m, Swami sent a bowl of payasam, a sweet dish specially prepared in his kitchen, to Padre Reddy with instructions that it should be fed to Saigita. And this 65-year-old caretaker then, he had never disobeyed Bhagwan in his life, but now he was in a critical dilemma. How to feed a dead elephant? The doctors had confirmed that her pulse had stopped. But then Bhagwan has now sent this payasam. So with prayer on his lips and no other solution in sight, Padre Reddy poured the payasam into her mouth and gently covered her face with white cloth. And to this day, it remains a mystery to Mr. Padre Reddy how the semi-solid offering went inside. There was no sign of it being dropped or slipped from her mouth onto the ground till the next morning. And on Swami's instructions, the whole night was spent digging a huge pit in the center of the new building that Swami had built for her 6 months ago. Cranes and earth movers worked continuously, and by early morning, the massive 20 by 16 feet hole was ready. When Swami arrived at 7:30 in the morning to the site, Mr. Padre Reddy says, "I just could not contain myself. I was crying," and Swami too was actually in tears. Swami held Padre Reddy's hand and Swami was very emotional. Swami said, "We have lost a great devotee. We have lost a great devotee. I will never find a devotee like this again." And then Swami asks his car door to be opened and his chair came out. Swami went as close as possible to Saigita. He took vibhuti and smeared all over her head. And for the next 15-20 minutes, Swami was there. Swami was pressing her head with his fingers. Swami was stroking her trunk. Swami was applying vibhuti on her face and limbs. Swami was just lovingly moving his fingers all over her body, all over her eyes. And though it was 15 hours since she had passed away, clinically, her body was still supple. It was still flexible. It almost seemed as if she was only sleeping. Because normally, 2 hours after life passes away, a dead body becomes very stiff. But Sai Geeta that morning had no stiffness. The trunk was bending easily, and her eyes seemed to be looking at Swami. In fact, Swami confirmed this in his discourse to the students a few days later. Swami said, "At the time when Sai Geeta was discarding her body, I pointed out to her and I said, 'Geeta, look here. I am constructing a mandir for you.' And she opened her eyes and she saw me. But she was very weak. What else she could do? She could only shed tears. And finally, when the end came and she was going, Swami said, 'I told her, so you are going, Geeta. Go happily. Go peacefully.'" In fact, as one hears this episode, one cannot but think of the final moments that Swami's foster mother Subbamma had. Though medically she was declared dead, there was a peculiar glow on her face and which made everyone nervous to take her to the cremation ground. Because some of the wise men of Bukkapattam said, "The bird has not flown yet. 3 full days had passed since the first announcement of her death. By the time Swami came to her deathbed after attending a function in Tirupati, the 3 days were over. But the moment Swami called out, 'Subbamma, Subbamma, Subbamma,' she opened her eyes. And her hand was next stroking Swami's hand lovingly. Swami then put his fingers to her lips. She opened her mouth a little, and from the cup palm of Swami flowed holy water into her mouth, and she then joined the ranks of the released. Sai Geeta's merger was no different, though everything was not so apparent to the ordinary onlooker. Only after Sai Geeta was satisfied completely, Swami had bid her final farewell. And after this, Bhagwan's attention now turned to the huge pit that was dug inside her new building. When Bhagwan saw the pit, he asked whether ready to come to the mandir to take Sai Geeta's dress. And Swami instructed to drape the sequin body blanket of Sai Geeta on her body, and Swami said that all her materials should be put inside the pit. And so accordingly, as per Bhagwan's directions, the pit also, the bottom of the pit was covered with sand, then by coconut leaves, banana leaves and other small plants that Sai Geeta used to relish, fresh green grass that she loved the most. So it was a multi-layered huge bed with all that Sai Geeta relished. But that was not all. On top of this was poured rice, many bags of rice, and then flowers, turmeric, vermilion, kumkum, chandan. Once everything was completed as per divine instructions, Mr. Padireddy returned to Mandir, and Swami then asked him to open the jewels of Sai Geeta that he always kept in his residence. Along with the dress, Swami also selected some of the jewels that he said should be there, should be adorning Sai Geeta. And then Swami handed over to Padireddy a pair of silk clothes and said, "You should do all the tasks. Go take a shower and wear this new silk dress and be ready. I will again come to the spot." And just as Bhagwan promised, Swami was there at the site at 10:45 a.m. At that time, efforts were on with the help of a crane to lift that 6,000 kg body of Sai Geeta and move it to the other end of the compound where the pit was dug. Swami was there watching the progress of the job every second. In fact, it was very hot. And Padireddy went to Bhagwan and said, "Swami, it's very hot. Maybe you may please return to the mandir. It might be inconvenient for you." But Swami said, "No, I will wait till the end." And after 90 minutes of tough maneuvering with the machine, Sai Geeta was finally placed on the bed specially created for her. And Swami's eyes were overcome with emotion as he saw his most precious devotee for the last time. More turmeric, kumkum was offered, lots of garlands were spread on her body, including a big one which Swami asked senior members of the trust to place on her. And finally she was covered with mud. Only after this, Bhagwan returned to his residence. When I asked Mr. Pedarendi, did you ever think that this eye-catching, elegant structure that Swami built for her would be her samadhi one day? He said, I never knew that, but what I do remember is when the shed was being constructed or being planned by Swami, Swami had said, we will make this a beautiful, big and permanent building for her. I never realized that by permanent, Swami meant her samadhi. And it is only to be by the side of her last moment that Bhagavan had cut short his Kodaikanal trip and come to Prashantinilayam. Sai Gita was more important than all the hundreds of devotees that prayed to him to extend his stay in Kodaikanal for a few more days, or the thousands of devotees from Bangalore who pleaded with him repeatedly to visit Vrindavan at least for a few weeks. In the 108 names of the Lord, one line exalts the Lord as Om Shri Sai Bhakta Paradhinaya Namaha, which means we salute the Lord who is actually under the control of his devotee. Just like Hanuman was one, Mirabai was one, Sai Gita was one, demonstrating to man the power and the pinnacle of pure love. And as Lord Rama laid the dedicated Jatayu to rest on his lap and himself performed all the funeral rites, Swami too treated Sai Gita just as his very own. He was there every second, directing every act in her last journey. Not only that, in fact, on the 11th day after her burial, Swami visited the site again and he asked Pedareddy Garu to place bananas, apples, ragi balls and sweets on the samadhi, and he directed that poor should be fed and all the cows in the Gokulam also should be fed on that day. The 11th day ceremony is a tradition in Indian families. Truly, no other being ever captured Swami's heart to the extent this elephant devotee did. Towards the end of his discourse to the students in the first moral class session of the institute in 2007, after speaking for nearly 15 minutes on Sai Gita, Swami said, if you can only remember and ruminate on the intense love that Sai Gita had for Swami and develop such sacred and noble thoughts, I will myself take you close to my heart. You do not have to do anything else. Swami is saying, if you only ruminate on the intense love of Sai Gita, I will myself take you close to my heart. You don't have to do anything else. That is how magnificent is this love story, which is the pinnacle of where love can be. Let us take this opportunity to strive to cultivate at least an iota of this love. And once we do that, as Bhagavan says, we don't have to go out looking for God. God will come searching for us. Let us sanctify every second of our lives with this most supreme of all virtues, love. And the greatest expression of love, devotion and surrender. The time in the studio now is 10:10. It's pretty late. But we had to discuss in this month of May about Sai Gita, and we have done that to some extent. I offer this last segment of That's Alive at the Lotus Feet of Bhagwan. I'm Team Lady Sai Bishu, and I thank you all for being with us all through the day, and we hope that we will continue to discuss on such elevating stories of the Lord in the days to come. On outside, inside, deep inside. As I sign off, you will listen to a drama entitled Samastha Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, presented by the students of Sai schools in Gujarat on 18th June 2009. Sir, keep listening and keep ruminating on this beautiful aspect of love, which truly is the substratum of everything within us, around us. Pervading all over us. Thank you so much. As I take leave, a sweet goodbye and loving sairam from Prashant Nalaya.